Your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to continue in verses 15 through 21 this morning, Lord willing. If I only get halfway done, we'll only get halfway done. This is so packed full of helpful information on how to be successful in our living day in and day out. It's so practical. He lays a foundation on helping us to understand our relationship to Jesus Christ. I have to do a little bit of review before we go any further so that we keep in mind how this chapter fits together. We begin the chapter in verse 1, 2, and 3, where he tells us that we died with Christ. When he died, we died. When we put our faith and trust in Him, our relationship to Him is so knit that it tells us we died to the old self. We were buried with Him. And in verse 1, it tells us we are risen with Him. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Verse 3 tells us that our life is so intrinsically knit with Jesus Christ that we are, uses the phrase, we are hidden in Him. And when we begin to understand how close of a relationship we have with Jesus Christ, and our walk with Him can be so close, that then He comes and tells us in verse 5 that because we have put away the old man and put on a new man, He says, therefore, we ought to mortify our members. In other words, give the death sentence to this old way of doing things. And he lists those things, such as fornication and uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desire, and covetousness. Down in verse 8, he says, also put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy communication out of your mouth. He says, because our relationship is so close to Jesus Christ, Christianity is different than any other religion, because Christianity says, my belief affects my behavior. That's a very simple lesson, and I've repeated it probably for the past 3 or 4 weeks, but I'm going to keep saying it because I want to see if we can grasp that. This is so simple. This has nothing to do with whether we are legalists or not. This has nothing to do with it, but rather it's a very simple thing, and that is, if we believe something, it will affect our behavior. It's that simple. Now, what is the key to accomplishing these things? Last Sunday night, we spent a good period of time just discussing, you say, I realize that these old things should be leaving my life, and I realize I ought to be putting on, verse 12, tender mercies and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering, but you say that's where the struggle is. And we all agree, that's where I struggle, that's where you struggle, all of us are in the same boat. And what kind of direction did Jesus Christ give us? He gave us several promises that we looked at last Sunday night that told us how we can be successful in putting on these things that are admittedly above and beyond our own power outside of Jesus Christ. Now, as we are beginning to be shaped by our living, our life in Him, we can also experience something that no one else can experience, and that is found in our text today, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That first phrase, we can have peace in our lives. Different from any other person in the world that is outside of Jesus Christ, we can experience peace. And you know, when we are at peace with God, it is much easier to be at peace with others. This past week, Thursday, I got a phone call. The person did not identify themselves. They tried to mask their voice. And do you know what they told me? They knew I was Pastor Felber. But they told me, I could go to hell. They told me that I was a child of the devil and that my preaching was from Satan. And hung up. Now, I began to think about that as I hung up the phone. I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you before. But as I hung up the phone, I was thinking that here was a person who is very unhappy and has no peace and is trying to make someone else miserable too. But you know what? It didn't work. I got off that phone and honest to goodness, I had a smile on my face. I thought, I'm sorry, buddy. It didn't work. You did not upset me. And the reason is because I don't draw my peace from what that guy said on the phone when he did not identify himself. My peace comes from my relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, because I am living in Christ, I can experience peace. And my title this morning is Peaceful Living in a World of Turmoil. Peaceful Living in a World of Turmoil. I'm going to hopefully get to three things this morning. If not, we'll pick it up tonight. Number one, I'm going to lay the foundation that God wants you to live in peace. Number two, God tells you how to live in His peace. And number three, tells you how to have His peace. Number three, He tells you how to live in His peace. Let's go back to verse 15. Number one, God wants you to have His peace. The phrase, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now that first word, let. What's implied there? The implication is that God wants you to live in His peace. And there is a certain amount of involvement on your part if you are going to experience His peace. God says, I want you to live in my peace. I want you to have peace in your life if you'll only let it take place. In John 14, 27, Jesus said this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. The world cannot offer absolute peace. Peace that is above circumstances. The kind of peace the world gives is totally dependent on circumstances. But God's peace is different. And then He says, I give you a peace not like the world gives. I leave my peace with you. Now notice another word in that phrase. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The word rule is a term that I could define in three words. It means to umpire. To rule means to umpire. Let the peace of God umpire in your heart, or let it decide in your heart. Let it call the shots. Let it decide with finality. So it means to rule, to umpire, to decide with finality. In other words, whatever it decides, that's what you're going to go with. Now, why does He make a statement like that? I believe because some people really don't want the peace that God offers. Because in accepting it, they would have to give up worry. And you know, I have met people that I honestly believe do not want to give up worry. Because if they give up worry, there's nothing left to do. They don't have anything. I mean, they'd have a boring evening because they don't have anything to worry about. Honest to goodness, I have known a person for 20 years. And I love them very much. But I am convinced that they don't want to give up worry. because that's how they spend their time. It has become a security blanket to them. And when they get home and work's done, they worry. And God says, that's not my plan. I want you to have peace. He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So God wants you to have peace. Let's look at number two, though. And that is, God tells you how to have His peace. And I want to tie in another passage with this. You only have to turn back about four or five pages to Philippians chapter 4. If you go back a few pages to Philippians chapter 4. And this is another passage that I have made reference to on many occasions, but I want to bring you back to it again because I have to keep coming back to it. Every time I begin to get out in an area that God doesn't want me to as far as worry and fear, I keep coming back to this and I have to reteach it to myself. So don't get too upset if you have to keep coming back to it too, because he tells us here how we can experience his peace. It begins in verse 4. There's a progression here. If you want to write them down in just single little phrases, it's a progression. You write these down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's going to tell us how to do it. Here it is. Verse 4, he tells us, number 1, if we're going to have peace, we have to learn to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So the phrase is rejoice in the Lord always. We must learn that no matter what we're doing, no matter where we are, no matter what is happening, we're going to rejoice in the Lord. That doesn't mean we're rejoicing at the circumstance, but the fact is that we have an inseparable relationship with Jesus Christ. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never leaves us high and dry, and we can always rejoice in the Lord. And we are always with Him. And He is always with us, and you can always rejoice in that. Number 2 is found in verse 5. Let your moderation be known among all men. Moderation, the term we usually use, does mean the idea of not being on going to an extreme in any certain thing. It means that, but this is a broader term in the Greek word that is used here. It also means gentleness. Gentleness. In other words, let's plug in that word. Let your gentleness be known among all people. Practicing gentleness with others. That is an imperative. We looked at the word forbearance last week. And the word to forbear means to withhold judgment. And God is forbearing toward man. In other words, God withholds judgment to man by offering him salvation. And that same word is involved in this word moderation. It's the idea of forbearance or withholding judgment on others. I mean, instead of just smacking them and letting them have it, we withhold judgment. He says, let your moderation be known among all men. The end of that phrase, the Lord is at hand, I paraphrased it for my own good. I paraphrased it like this. I said, let your gentleness be known among all people. God is watching. God is always watching me. So He knows whether I'm doing it or not. Here is number 3. Number 3 is found in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. I get tickled. There's this song that's been running the radio. Don't worry, be happy. Some of you have heard it. It's been on WIBC a few times. It's cute. But it isn't going to give you any lasting solutions to life by any means. But there's a biblical basis for what that is saying. And it's not just a matter of saying, don't worry. You say, well, that's easy to say. You can't do it very easily. How do we do it? The rest of the verse tells us. Number 3 is, don't worry, but rather take your burdens to the Lord. Instead of worrying about them, you take those worries to God. It says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. instead of worrying, we take it to God and say, God, I can't handle this. This is too big for me. I am worrying with this, and when I am worrying about it, it is bigger than what it should be in my life, and therefore I lay it on your shoulders. And we give it to God. Now skip down to verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That is number 4 on my list, and that is begin to meditate on good things. See, that's going to take care of a lot of your worry. It goes hand in hand with the prayer, and that is meditating on good things. Listen, I hear plenty of bad throughout the week that it could keep me preoccupied and could get me down so that I would not have the peace of God in my life. Do you experience that? I get enough phone calls and a prank call like the one I got and just general things that happen that if I would choose to dwell on those things, I would be a continually depressed person and I would be, as the term we used when I was a kid, a worry wart. I would be like that continually. But I do not dwell on those things. I set that aside and I begin to dwell on things that are good and pure and holy and just, and I get my mind back on what I have to do for the day, the responsibilities that God has given to me, good things that I want to see happen and be accomplished within myself and our church. And as I dwell on those things, I have the peace of God in my life. So we've got 4 things here. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your moderation be known. Don't worry, but rather take your burden to the Lord. Begin to meditate on good things. And number 5 is something that it just reached out and grabbed me as I was studying this. And that is, you look at the term, the peace of God, and giving thanks to God, and you'll notice they always show up together. They are continually showing up to one another. And so my step number 5, when God says He tells us how to have His peace, is give thanks in all things. That takes us back up to verse 6 again. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Learn to give thanks in all things. If we can learn to give thanks in all things, we're going to experience the peace of God. Now notice, we finally come down to the culmination of all of it in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now that's a promise from God. And let me tell you folks, it works when I apply it. When I follow these steps and I do what God asks me to do, I have His peace. And peace, I underlined thanksgiving in verse 6. I underlined peace in verse 7. The two of them go together. Down at the end of verse 9, it says, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's go back to our text. Go back to Colossians 3. Look in verse 15 again. We've got the word peace, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and what? And be ye thankful. There's the peace and thankful once again. Down in verse 17, and whatever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, what? Giving thanks to God. Giving thanks and peace in your life are inseparable. When I am no longer giving thanks to God in my life, I lose peace. I lose peace. When I can learn to be thankful, I gain peace. Now, this is something that must be developed. You choose to think on certain things, just as we discussed a second ago. In the same way, we must learn to develop thankfulness. Even if at first it is something no more than rote memory. I do it because I've got to. It changes as you continue to do it. I've got a friend that just, he was just mentioning it as a testimony, but it got me to thinking. That is, his dad constantly said, "Son, when something bad happens, you stop right then and you thank God. You thank God." He said, "That didn't make any sense to me." But he said, "I learned that every time, whether it's good or bad, I stop and I thank God." He said one time, he said, "I was on a horse. I was down at a ranch and the horse bucked me off and I fell flat on my back." And he said, "We thought I had broke my back." And he said, "I almost got tickled as I laid there in pain. First thing that popped into my mind is, I got to give thanks." But you know what? There is a person that never became angry with God about that. And God worked it out, and his back was not broken. But you see, it became an instinctive thing. The first thing that popped into his mind is, I got to give thanks. I got to give thanks. I was talking with a lady 2 days ago in the hospital. Her husband is in the hospital. Possibility of having a cerebral hemorrhage. He is maybe 50. He's young. And as I sat there in the hospital and was talking with this lady, you know what she told me? It almost floored me. She said, "You know, as I sit here right now, I can thank God because I know He will work this out for His good because I have seen Him do it in the past. And if this is to be, it is for our good, not for our evil." Now, I got to admit, that is something that is beyond a lot of Christians. In fact, you get me in the right situation, I would struggle with that too. But do you see, they have learned in the past, I give thanks. I give thanks. And when I give thanks to God, no matter what, I will be at peace with God. Let me word it another way. You show me a person who is always questioning God about everything that happens, and I'll show you a person that is not at peace with God. Let me flop it around, though. You show me a person that has learned to give thanks in all things, no matter what, and I'll show you a person that does not get angry with God and is at peace in his life. Peace and thanksgiving go hand in glove. They go together. And I am hitting you with a big one today. I know that. I recognize that. But I'm also telling you that this is the way of success. This genuinely works. We learn to give thanks because if you believe God is in control, then whatever God is taking me through, that is the best thing that could ever happen to me. It is much better than me being completely out of that situation because God has promised that He will work this out for His glory. And what do I want to do in my life more than anything else? I want to glorify God. I want to glorify God. And if God takes me through some things that are unpleasant from my vantage point, but I know that from His Word as His child, it will glorify Him, I'd rather glorify Him. I'd rather glorify Him. Now that's heavy. That's heavy. But you get a grip on it, and you can handle life. You can handle what comes along. And so God has told us how to have His peace. Again, rejoice in the Lord always. Let your moderation be known among all men. Do not worry, but rather give it to the Lord. Begin to meditate on good things. Give thanks in all things. That is God's plan. And what is His promise? "And the God of peace shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now let's go to verses 16 and 17. Let me show you number three. That is, God shows you how to live in peace. He showed us how to have the peace, gave us that step-by-step process. Now, how do we live in peace? Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. How does God show you how to live in peace? The first phrase in verse 16. How do we live in peace? By number one, letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now on the surface, you say, I don't see anything there that's of that great of value. I don't see how that's going to help me live in peace. But it's there. The key is the word dwell. Here's the definition for that word dwell. Dwell is a personal word. This is a very personal word that means to move in, to be, quote unquote, at home, to be welcome in the home. That's what this word dwell means. It shows personality, it shows a love and acceptance of the one who is living there. All of us have faced two types of situations when someone comes into our home to visit. And some fit in between, but I'm going to give you two polar opposites. You have a person that comes into your home, and the whole time they're there, you are uncomfortable. Now, don't get pious on me and act like that's never happened. You've had a person in your home that you are uncomfortable with when they're there. And while they are there, whether it's their demeanor or the purpose of why they're there, makes you very uneasy and very uncomfortable. You've experienced that. Let me show you the opposite of that. A person comes into your home, and they might as well be part of your family. You are totally comfortable with them being in your home. It doesn't upset you. It doesn't make you feel uneasy. I like to say, this is the kind of person, they can walk over to your refrigerator, open it, and fix themselves a sandwich, and your heart doesn't skip a beat. It doesn't throw you a bit. You are totally relaxed with them in your home. You feel at ease. Now that is this word dwell. Is when the person can be there and you're not on edge because they make you uneasy or uncomfortable, but you are just as comfortable. You love when they stop by. Now, with Mary and Isard, they always made me feel that way when I came to their house. They had the wonderful ability to make me feel like I could just walk over without even telling them, open their refrigerator and make a sandwich, and it would have been fine with them. Now, let's come back to our text. Let's plug this in. How are we going to experience living in peace? It says, let the Word of God do what? Let it be at home in you. In the same way of the analogy we've just drawn. In other words, is the Word of God welcome in your life? Are you relaxed and at ease when the Word of God goes over to your refrigerator and looks in it? That is amazing. I mean, that is so packed full of content here. Does the Word of God have a home in you? Q Can it come in and relax, or the entire time that the Word of God is being exposed to you, are you uneasy? Is it unwelcome? This past week I was in the home of a man that I'm very concerned about. And this man, claims Christianity, does not go to church. And I was talking with him. I said, I'm so concerned about you. I said, would you tell me this? I said, do you ever read your Bible? He said, no. I said, would you say that you have a hunger to be fed by God's Word? Is there a desire down deep in you to know what God says about how to live your life? No, I wouldn't say that. I said, you help me here. I'm trying to help you. I said, as you look at your life, I said, can you tell me, the Bible says that when we get saved, we become new creatures. We're a new creation. I said, can you tell me what you see in your life as fruit? Things that have taken place in your life since you have been saved. I said, well, what makes you different from an unbeliever? He said, well, I've accepted Christ. I said, we're not on the same wavelength. I said, when you accepted Christ, that's when you were born into God's family. I said, now since you have been born, tell me what are the signs of life since you've been born. A baby is born in the world, he wants to eat. He moves his arms and legs, he speaks. Those are signs of life. I said, tell me the signs of life that you see. Well, I don't know how to answer that. As you know, my heart broke. Because there is a person that is totally uneasy with the Word of God in his life. The Word of God does not dwell in him richly. And listen, we can say here piously this morning and say, well, I go to church, so I'm okay. But let me ask you, when you come to the Word of God, are you comfortable or uncomfortable with it? Do you come to the Word of God in fear and trembling every time that you're scared that God's going to point out something to you that He might want to change? Or are you comfortable with it and say, God, I know You love me and You want nothing but the best for me. And so if You come into my house and You open my refrigerator and want to toss out something, or You say I need something else, that's what I want. Now, when we begin to have that kind of comfortableness, being relaxed and welcoming the Word of God into our lives, we're going to experience the peace of God in our lives. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In other words, whatever you do in word or action, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. That's my second point under this. God shows you how to live in peace. Number one was to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And number two, and that is whatever you do, your word or an action, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will live in peace. Notice the progression. The Word of God is at home in you. It is no longer an unwelcome something that you want to get out as quick as you can, but it can come and it can stay as long as it pleases. It's at home in you. Second of all, as you do that, you begin to acquire the mind of Christ. You begin to think the way Christ thinks. Instead of thinking evil, we want to think good. And my question then comes into my life, is my behavior reflecting my belief? And whatever I am doing, can I do it in the name of Jesus? It's like the passages that we were looking at last week. The things that he asked us to put off. The wrath, the blasphemy, the filthy communication. Can I do those things in the name of Jesus? Well, you say, no, I can't do that. Right. That's right. Can I demonstrate kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness in the name of Jesus Christ? Yes. Yes, I can do that. I can do that. You see, God wants us to live in peace. The world is falling apart. They don't have anything to hold them together. They have no stability. They don't understand love. And Christ calls us to a life that says, you live in me. You live your life hidden in me. And you will have peace. You will have peace. Let's bow in prayer.